to our collaboration episode of Synversations, a podcast that explores the depths of synthetic biology from various multidisciplinary standpoints. I'm Tess King, and I'll be your host for today. I'm a third-year student here at the University of Toronto studying physics and physical geography. Synversations is a 5-episode-long podcast, plus this bonus episode, created by the University of Toronto Policy and Practices Division of its iGEM team, a student club dedicated to synthetic biology. In this episode, you will listen to what other iGEM teams from across the world have to say about their own project and experiences. Also joining us today are McMaster, Waterloo, Ottawa, Guelph, Dalhousie, Sweden, Denmark, France, and Estonia. Could you introduce yourself? Tell us what university or region your team is from.
Hi, my name is Maya Oren, and I'm from the University of Guelph iGEM team.
My name is Yu Chen, and I'm from the University of Ottawa iGEM team.
This is McMaster iGEM speaking. My name is Angela Dong, and I'm the co-president and wet lab member.
Hi, so my name is Jamie, and I am from University of Waterloo.
Hello, my name is Julius. I'm from Denmark, a team of University of Copenhagen, which is the capital of Denmark. We call ourselves INSA, because we're working with endosymbiosis.
My name is Emmanuel Sanka, others call me Sanka. I'm from Uppsala University in Applied Biotechnology Master Program.
Well, hello. First of all, I'm Dain Sivanos. I'm from the iGEM team Estonia, and we're from the University of Tartu.
Hello friends, we are the iGEM Agonist team from Paris, and we are very glad to participate to this podcast with the iGEM Toronto, which we thank a lot for the opportunity.
Can you give a brief description about your project?
So, Fanny, can you give us a brief description about your project?
Of course. So, currently, crops are suffering increasingly to temperature damages such as frost and dryness. So, our goal is to engineer a thermoreactive bacteria that express a specific compound at high temperatures and another specific compound at low temperatures. Our goal is to apply the bacteria on crops, especially on grapevines, to treat low and high temperature damages. So the bacteria will therefore express an anti-frost compound at low temperatures and a reflective compound at high temperatures to lower the leaf temperature and decrease the water loss. And also, we are doing a lot of researches on safety, the proof of concept, informatic modeling and human practices to be as complete as possible and make our project realistic.
What we're doing is we're trying to find an enzymatic way of breaking down beer stone. So we're using the enzymes OX and FERC from Oxalobacter formigenes with the idea that together they can actually break down calcium oxalate, which is similar to calcium scale in the sense that it's left over with everywhere we're beer used to be in brewing equipment, so we're trying to get rid of that safely without using harmful phosphoric and nitric acids like they do in industry.
For us, we are dealing with DCAS9 and MXR1 system. So what we are hoping to achieve in this project is to look for an alternative for traditional transcription factors and an alternative of it to see its use in gene regulatory uses. So what our system is that we have a dCas9, which is a dead catalytic Cas9 protein, which it could combine with different sgRNA, which is synthetic guide RNA sequences, where it could form the complex and be directed to a specific promoter to repress the expression of a gene of interest. So how does, why we are interested in this is that in traditional transcription factors, what each transcription factor is specific to a promoter, a specific promoter. If we want to modulate the expression of a gene of interest, we will have to switch out different promoters because it is so specific. However, with our stuff, with our system, we could just change the sgRNA and remain the dCas9 unchanged. And this way, we can have a greater variety of different promoters we can target. So what we are hoping to achieve in this project is to basically build a network based on just purely sgRNA and dCas9 system. This is which we are aware of that hasn't been done before. So if this could be done, this, it will provide us basically another tool of, instead of transcriptional factors, that will allow us to basically modulate gene expression.
The project for this year is concerned about DNA zymes, more specifically using DNA zymes to detect for E. coli and C. difficile. We're doing this using a plate-based assay. Think of it as a sort of biosensor, and our ultimate goal is in order to be able to see the fluorescence generated from our DNA zymes before we can see with the naked eye the colonies that form on our plates.
Yeah, so we sort of are exploring this idea of using DNA zymes to detect bacteria because we were looking at specific strains of bacteria that were antibiotic resistant. And since that issue is a huge pressing concern in hospitals and senior homes, and we are also affiliated with a bunch of hospitals, we decided that, like, hey, this is something that we could actually help out our community with. So being able to relate to the people around us and probably even helping them to a better future is what we want to do.
Okay, so our project this year involves the use of prions, and we're trying to insert prion domains into other proteins in order to get them to aggregate, and hopefully that'll increase their function. And in order to prove that they're aggregating and doing what we want them to do, we want to use reporter proteins that will fluoresce and show that, you know, they're actually associated with each other.
We are crafting croxin. So croxin is a part or like compound that you can get it like from saffron. Now we are trying to make a synthetic enzyme like from three different enzymes, and then to have this croxin so we could like isolate this from synthetically from bacteria. Yeah, so far we have isolated some genes which potential for these protein expression. So
our plan is to basically make two yeast subpopulations from whom one is able to produce SUC2 protein, which breaks down sucrose into glucose. And then the second subpopulation comes in and transforms the glucose into ethanol. And then the first subpopulation comes back to work because it has another biobrick with EFE gene inserted in it. And it will consume the ethanol to produce ethylene. The SUC2 will be secreted in the media, but the EFE biobrick will absorb the ethanol in it, and it will be secreted.
How did you come up with your project?
A lot of our team spent a lot of time talking about it. We all decided to target an industry, so we tried to see what were the main problems in each industry. We were looking at milk industry, beer industry, oil industry, and we were trying to see, hey, maybe we could do something to help them with some of their problems.
Actually, we started from the idea of creating this thermoreactive bacteria. We found this concept really interesting and fully developed until now. We then decided to find a concrete application for this concept in order to make it more useful for the most people possible. It has been really difficult to agree on a single application because a thermosensitive system can be used in so many domains. At the beginning, we wanted to transform a plant so its coloration could be an indicator of the ambient temperature. The project then drifted towards a synthetic tree that will be self-sufficient and function thanks to wind turbines. But finally, we all agreed on the problematic of the vine protection because, you know, we are French and we are convinced that the French wine is precious and deserves to benefit from our technology.
Well, basically, first of all, we had a different idea for us to test, but after some discussion with other teams and professionals in their spheres all around the world, they told us that the first project we wanted to do would take too much time and we couldn't finish it till the iGEM Jamboree, which is this year in November. So we wanted to do a different approach, and we came up with the idea of the two subpopulations which produce ethylene.
So, as I imagine some iGEM teams at least do, you sit in this group room and you eat cake and you drink coffee and you're like, shit, we need to get an idea at some point. And then you start drawing stuff on the board, and then you go home and we had nothing that first day. And then we had a guy going in through a lot of papers who was really good at doing this literature research, and he found a paper from MIT talking about synthetic organelles, cyanelles, and we thought, oh, that could be super cool. And then we found out, accidentally, I would say, at least for my part, that our primary investigators actually have some side projects along the lines of symbiosis. So that was a really excellent fit, and then we talked about it, researched more, and then we decided, okay, this is what we need to do, and then we presented it to the PIs, and they were like, whoa, guys, iGEM is long in your terms, but it's not enough to make a complete host and endosymbiotic relationship, so you have to scale it down. And we thought, okay, so we came up with these three ideas that are fundamental for endosymbiotic relationships, and that's where we're starting. And then we'll see how far we go.
Where do you see your project in the future? Or what real-world applications do you envision for your project?
So, our project in the future. It's a bit of a difficult question because we're actually working towards the fundamental track. So there will not necessarily be as a super cool real-world application as some of the other teams that are going to cure cancer or send people to the moon and other cool stuff. So we're working more and making this fundamental kit for other people to explore into symbiotic relationships. So we really want to make this kit of biobricks and a working model system that you can take further and then build upon the next following years in iGEM maybe. So I hope that our project ends up being a success, that we get all the biobricks to function together and allowing them from in the years to come to build further upon it. However, we have discussed real world applications. And one application could be to have a yeast host and then using this endosymbiont to make some certain parts that could be toxic for the host to maybe and hopefully further production of drugs, medical drugs, of course, maybe do glycosylations of antibodies or some biocontainment unit, or maybe even with an endosymbiont that can invade host, you could have something that could work as a medical treatment in itself. But that's again in the far off future. Then of course there's the other aspect you could imagine. Endosymbionts could be photosynthetic. Maybe we can make photosynthetic humans, but that's probably also like 200 years in a sci-fi movie. But there are some cool applications definitely.
Well, let's start with the fact that our goal is to produce ethylene, which is the basics of almost all polymers used nowadays. So the polymer production or ethylene production today happens from oil, which is really bad. You know, all the pollution, greenhouse gases and everything basically killing our planet. And we want to change that by producing ethylene in a safe manner from the nature.
Our project could have a real positive impact on crops. We met some winemakers to expose the idea, and they were pretty excited. They were not so concerned about the price and the use of genetically modified microorganisms, as long as it works, because frost and heat decrease yield a lot, making them lose a lot of money. However, we know that regulation, as in France, does not allow this kind of use. Therefore, there is few agricultural application. In order to go further in our projects, people's opinion need to change, but in the same, some factors need to be understood and controlled, as the dispersion of modified bacteria, genetic material transfer, or impact of bacteria on environment. A kill switch is a good way to control them, but other strategies could be investigated as the choice of natural and suitable chassis. Also, at our scale, for the Ionis iGEM, we try to inform and explain synthetic biology around us in school, for example.
Where do you see synthetic biology 20 years from now?
20 years, I see that a research area of synthetic biology only growing and expanding, because for example nowadays synthetic biology can be used anywhere from manufacturing to medicine. For example, us who are trying to produce ethylene, to for example medical applications like production of insulin and many other drugs that we wouldn't have access to without the help of synthetic biology. So it's an expanding and ever-growing area which will only become bigger and play a bigger role in the world.
What are some of the best moments your team has spent with iGEM?
My favorite best moment would be when we were working so long and sitting in place for so long that the lights went out in our laboratory. So I was running around the laboratory with my hands waving every 10 minutes or so just to get the lights back on because we were so focused and concentrated that they would, and not moving, that they would keep going down on us.
Definitely the moments that come after the longest time of no results, when we spend days and days working towards something and we don't really feel like we're getting anywhere. And then you finally make that break during that moment. It's when you realize that everything you've been putting in this whole time wasn't for nothing. And when you can share that moment with the people you've been working hard with, that's definitely the best moment in the lab.
Oh, well, there's a lot of good times. Like, one of the best memories I have is from the time we danced in our laboratory. I think we still have a live stream. Go check us on Facebook. It's the Estonia iGEM group. And we have a video there of us dancing. And the moves are fire. So,
there's coming more.
Yeah, more to be.
So, as I mentioned, we have spent a lot of fun moments drinking coffee, eating cake, discussing a snack list, sitting inside our group rooms and just being incredibly frustrated and stuff, and then coming out of laughing. But the best moments we spent as a team in iGEM, I think, was when we hosted the Nordic iGEM conference and invited all the teams from Scandinavia to join us in Copenhagen, and just seeing how chaotic it is to host an event, first of all, but also meeting all these other peoples and coming together as a group, because hosting an event was incredibly difficult. And we found out sort of the day when people arrived that it was a lot larger task than we imagined. And because of that, we really had to come together as a group, and I loved how we did that. So when we went to the European meetup to meet all these lovely people from all of Europe, we were a much stronger team, and we were bonded much closer, and we drove in a car all the way down and all the way back, singing songs and sitting there hearing a guy who's not the best singer in our team, not that I am, I'm probably the worst, but hearing this guy singing along to I'm a Barbie Girl was absolutely amazing.
Last year I was a member of iGEM as well for the 2016 team, and last year some of the best moments that we had were on our socials. So most times we're in the lab, we're always trying to be focused on our work, and you know, we try to work as a collective to get our goals done or projects done as best as we can. But sometimes it's hard for the new recruits to find their way into the team. And part of what we focus on is trying to make it easier for the recruits to feel better about asking questions, about wanting to work more, about feeling more comfortable with the team itself. And one specific moment from last year was we took an outing to the bar with most of our new recruits. Of course, they were all of age, but it was just a great way to, you know, make everyone feel comfortable with each other, introduce each other in a non-iGEM way, make it more social, informal. And, you know, we ended up spending 3 hours there just getting everyone acquainted with each other. And, you know, since then we saw that the social aspect outside of the lab is a very important dynamic that every team should focus on. And from this year, I mean, the best one we've had was an outing to the park where we took, I think it was like 5 or 6 of the newer recruits. And, you know, we went from 8 p.m. from getting dinner to like 2 in the morning, just hanging out in the park and just talking about anything, like problems we've been having or work stress and stuff like that. And, you know, we focus on making sure everybody wants to work here, wants to be a part of iGEM, and, you know, want to help each other learn.
What makes you unique from other iGEM teams?
This can be a long answer. Since I'm from the science and technology course in University of Tartu, I'm representing. So, yeah, we're first of all the first course to study synthetic biology in Estonia. So we're the first of the first, the grand pioneers here, which is really nice. And I'm really looking forward for what's going to come in the future for us, because this is like the first year of our studies. We're just first year bachelor's, well, second year, starting from September. And I remember the first time I heard about iGEM, it was last September, I think. I walked in the classroom and everyone was looking serious. Then our course advisor came in, and our Martlo came in also, and they were talking about iGEM, the fact how it started and what's happening with it, what's being done in this huge competition. And I remember myself, I was just sitting at the very end of the classroom, and it was like the first or the second week of starting out. I was just sitting in the back thinking, am I really this stupid? Does everyone understand what he's talking about? And now a year has passed and we're actively doing research. So I think it's just fantastic.
So full disclosure, this is me speaking as the math modeling lead. But I think that Waterloo iGEM places a special focus on the importance of the modeling. So for instance, one thing I noticed is that a lot of the modeling efforts from other teams come from people who are studying primarily biology, and who are sort of picking up the differential equations or the computer science needed to do that modeling. Whereas Waterloo really just recruits from all different faculties, all different backgrounds. And so I think that we have a unique opportunity to really get different perspectives from different fields of academia. So yeah, for instance, as a math student, I basically have zero biology except for what I've picked up through iGEM. But that also means that I've got a completely new perspective to add to the team.
I suppose we make a lot of memes, but now that we find out that Waterloo has a whole channel dedicated towards memes, that may not be the answer to that question anymore.
Yeah, but also it's just, I feel like we've had a weird start compared to other iGEM teams, because we've technically been around for 7 years, but our teams split up into two or three teams, and then they merged, and we had to go through a bunch of other weird transitions. So rather than having just one cohesive start, we've kind of been able to adapt to different things.
What do you want to say to other teams?
I think I would say cherish the process. You know, we all work looking towards the end goal. We look towards the completion of our project, towards presenting at the Jamboree, towards all the big flashy moments that come down the road. But yeah, definitely cherishing the process and taking to heart what we're getting out of this. That it's not simply just laboratory experience that we're getting, but we're also learning how to design projects, how to manage workflow, administrative roles, how to work with each other as a team, and really a ton of life skills that help build us and shape us in so many more ways than simply just a project and a presentation.
I think something I'd like to say to other teams is that we really love to collaborate with everyone. I think that I'm pretty into it, so I don't really know exactly the extent of how much people work together. Like, sure, it's a requirement for standards, but I think there's a lot more potential for everyone to work together. There's a lot of knowledge, I feel, that kind of stays within your own team and never gets shared to other teams, especially newer teams who are kind of struggling to get set up. I'm sure everyone remembers, if you're around long enough, the struggles of really getting funding, getting all the equipment, figuring out what actually works, because a lot of stuff isn't written down sometimes, and it's all experience that you can't just find on the internet. So if given the opportunity, I'd really love for all the teams, especially in Ontario, to work together and improve each other's projects.
How do you deal with setbacks?
So setbacks are one of the most common things. They come more often than results. And typically we deal with setbacks by just dropping what we're doing, being like, all right, we need to take a break, pulling up into our lab room, just talking, relaxing, getting whatever it was that was bothering us or that's holding us back off our mind, letting it incubate in the back of our heads while we're relaxing, cracking jokes, looking at memes. There's a lot of pages I can give shout outs to on Facebook. Definitely check them out. And yeah, sometimes the best way to deal with a problem is not to think about it and letting the problem kind of solve itself in the back of your head and then reapproaching it with a fresh mind.
Setbacks are the most common things we have to deal with when working in a laboratory. So we knew we had to be prepared for this. Of course, it is easy to say we were prepared, and actually it is always frustrating to see we do not obtain the expected results or that we do not have any result at all. However, we know it is part of the game, so we try to analyze our work in order to correct our potential mistakes and to be even more motivated. We also try to take it with humor by encouraging each other, making jokes about it, or even creating memes, which is our favorite part. Even if we fail, we really want to have good results to present in Boston, so we really try hard to get the results we expect.
Well, wet lab has a lot. Okay.
Mostly dealt with their setbacks by always thinking it over, reflecting, getting feedback, and learning from that feedback. And just, I guess, being resilient in the face of all of that. Because we know that, yeah, maybe we lost the battle, like the plate won us, but we haven't lost the war. So take that plate.
Yeah, like over here on the human practices side, and also with our other subdivisions, we have a lot of like communication and contacts going on. So we're always wondering if someone will get back to us or not, or like whether we should follow something up, or whether we should try something else. So all in all, though, it's just a matter of always having a plan B and a plan C. So if this one person doesn't want to follow up with you, or you just don't know what to do else, always have a backup so that you know where you're going instead. And by being able to plan in ahead, we're able to consistently do work instead of just stopping, installing, and trying to figure out instead.
And I guess, like, one tip I'd say is, like, laugh at yourself. Feel free to laugh at your setbacks. Once I made a gel that turned out to be, like, Franken gel. I forgot to put the red safe in, so the DNA couldn't be seen. So I kind of just soaked the entire thing in a tub of red safe. And it turned out to be really watery that it broke apart when I picked it up. And also, there were like marbled patterns everywhere. And I would have been pretty mortified by this setback because, oh no, it's like an entire afternoon's work done, lost. But then actually, everyone was really like open about it. Like, yeah, they roasted me, but it was a nice sort of roasting. We all had a good laugh about it. And we definitely learn from it, but most of all, we've like strengthened our ties actually through the setbacks that have happened.
Thank you to all the teams who collaborated with us. And that concludes our entire series of conversations. Shout out to all the listeners who kept up with us until the very end. And finally, don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and at igemtoronto.ca.